I introduced Deborah and Catherine as two young ladies I've seen grow in the program over the years. As far as our next young lady goes, Cinnamon, I've known Cinnamon for a very short time, but in the length of time I've known her, she's changed. She has grown. She has shed some tears along with the rest of us. Being around the program as much as I have, I've seen a lot of stories that just tie in together. One just ties right into the next one you hear. And that just goes to prove that every Alateen, like every Al-Anon and every AA, has been in each other's shoes at one time or another. Alateen rooms statewide and county and countrywide, the room should be packed as much as our AA and Al-Anon rooms are. Like I said, she's not been in the Alateen program very long, but she has graced our group. She's a young lady of strength, courage, love, and compassion. She's proved that every Monday night when she's been in a meeting and shared. She's going to prove that today. She's learning her program as she lives her program one day at a time. It's with great admiration that I introduce to you, as her first talk in front of a convention, Cinnamon H. from the Grace Stretch and Grow Alateen Group. Cinnamon.
Hi, my name is Cinnamon.
Hi, Cinnamon.
Gosh, there's a bunch of y'all. I asked a girl yesterday, and she had spoke at a convention, and I asked her, I said, I'm pretty well comfortable with my speech. It's short, but I don't know how to start it off. And she said, well, I started mine out with a joke, and I said, well, I don't know any clean ones. And my mom's sitting back there, and I don't think she'd appreciate that. So I guess I'll just start when alcoholism affected me. And it started affecting me as long as I can remember, which was about 5 or 6. We lived in Columbus, Georgia. And my dad was an alcoholic. And as you all know, alcoholism is really hard on the family just by itself. But another thing that made it so hard on our family was that my dad was a preacher at the time. And as you all know, drinking in that profession, it's just not something you do. It just isn't done. And so we did all the wrong things. We kept it a secret. I had never heard of Alateen, and Mother had never heard of Al-Anon. And so we didn't have anybody to talk to because, you know, you can't talk to anybody in the church because your dad's the preacher, and I didn't know what was going on. And so we all kept it a secret, and we made excuses for him when he would be drunk or passed out and somebody from the church came over. We'd just tell him that Daddy was sick or he didn't feel like talking and if they could come back another time. And my dad was a busybody, and he loved to do something. He loved to be doing something all the time, even when he was drinking. And so the whole family would go right behind him, picking up stuff and cleaning up his messes. And we constantly did this all the time. And it was a big burden on the whole family. And we thought when my daddy realized what a tremendous strain he was putting on the family, that, you know, he would straighten up and that he would fly right. But we soon found out that what we'd been doing was just enabling him to drink, because he felt that, you know, everything's been going along so good, you know, I don't have a problem. But we knew different. And we kept doing everything for him, and things kept on getting worse. And so it got real bad, and it got so bad that we left for a while. That day, mm-hmm. Me? Me and my sister and my brother were at home, and Daddy had really gotten bad drunk, and so Mother decided that it was getting just too bad, and she told us to go outside and to hide until she came and got us. And my daddy had a gun at that time, and she told us if we heard the gun go off to go get a neighbor. And so I hid in the bushes until she came out, and she told us to get in the car. And we got in the car and we left, and we took off for Florida. And all I had with me was an orange bikini and an old t-shirt. No underwear, no nothing. And that's all we all had on, what we had on that day. And that's it. And we took off for Florida to stay with one of my aunts. And I really didn't understand it at that time. I just thought, well, you know, we were just giving Daddy some time to be by himself. And we had a great time down in Florida. We went to Disney World and bought me all new clothes. And then somehow Mother and Daddy got in touch with each other, and he swore he was going to quit drinking and that he was going to straighten up and fly right. Well, she said okay. And so we went back home, and he was fine until we got settled down in our old routine, and then he started back, and he even got worse than he was before. And so we decided that it was just getting too bad. After our little trip to Florida, I constantly kept a bag under my bed with clothes in it, and any spare money I had, I put in that bag in case we ever had to do that again. And I didn't have many friends at that time because I couldn't bring them home. I never knew what to expect from my dad. I loved him dearly, but you never knew what to expect. I walked on eggshells all my life, and one of the worst things that he ever did was he used to clean his guns when he'd get drunk. And my mom thought she was being real smart and sending us to bed when he got too bad. Well, a closed door doesn't help anything. It just makes it worse because you don't know what's going on. And I know many nights I've laid in the bed in a knot wondering, is he going to kill her? Is he going to kill himself? I just didn't know what to expect. And anyways, we did have some funny things now that I look back. Mother had to work real hard because Daddy couldn't support us because he couldn't hold down a job. And so Mother worked at a beauty parlor and would get home late. And so Daddy would be real helpful and try to get us to bed before she got home. And we'd go and we'd take a bath, and then we'd be ready to get in bed, and he'd say, "Didn't I tell you to take a bath?" So we'd get back in the bath again, and we'd take a shower. We didn't ever argue with him. We would take 3 or 4 baths a night. It's one thing I can say, we were clean children. But anyways, things did keep on getting worse, and so finally my mom decided that it was just too much to handle. So they got a divorce. And this was really hard on me because I am the youngest of 3 children. And I've always been a daddy's girl. I've always taken up for my dad. And he gave me this guilt trip about, well, if you love me, you'll come live with me. And I got to thinking, oh, I can't do this. I can't decide between 2 parents. It's just too hard. That's the worst thing a child can ever go through, is to try and... Both parents say, if you love me, you'll live with me. And thank goodness the courts decided that for me. They sent me with my mama, which I would have probably gone with anyways. And we went to Ider, Alabama, and we moved in with our grandparents. And Mother took on a job at Mirco Bakery, doing a man's job, lifting 100-pound sacks of sugar on third shift. And my grandparents raised us for a while. We lived there for what, a year or two? Well, seemed like 2 years. And anyways, and my grandmother, this is my mother's mother, and she didn't understand alcoholism, and she thought, you know, we were rowdy kids. I was 6 at that time, and my sister was 3 years older, and my brother was 4, and 4 years older than I was. And she thought to settle us down and to keep us quiet, she would tell us, well, acting like that, no wonder your daddy drinks. And little stuff like, well, if y'all would have been nice, quiet kids, you know, your daddy would have never drank, you know, they would have never got a divorce. And that really hit home. And I felt real responsible, and I thought that I was the reason for his drinking. And I got a real low self-esteem after that. And so I decided that mother, she was still working that job. And by that time, we moved out about 6 months later. And we moved about a mile or two from them. We still lived in Ida. And she worked third shift, so me and my brother and sister, we'd get ourselves up for school and we'd get everything done. And we had to kind of raise ourselves, because I know it wasn't my mother's fault. She had to work to support us, because at that time my dad wasn't paying child support. But it was really hard, and I grew up real fast. And so did my other brothers and sisters, and we got into a lot of trouble. We got on the wrong foot. And I think my sister was one of the world's worst about getting in trouble. And I think one of the main reasons she did get in trouble was because she had such a low self-esteem, because she felt that she was worth nothing. Because we felt that we were the reason for our parents' divorce. We loved them so much, and it seems like we had just wrecked their lives. And so mother got to be sick all raised around. She got physically sick from lifting sugar and doing all kinds of man's jobs at all kinds of shifts. And she got emotionally sick because we were such terrible kids. And so she became hysterical, and we became worse. And I still felt responsible for my dad, so I felt that to get away from the family scene, that I would go see my dad and try to make up to him what I'd done. And he promptly told me when I got down there that it wasn't my fault that they got a divorce, and that he didn't have a drinking problem. So of course I believed him. And so anyways, I went down there and I felt better, you know, having him tell me that I wasn't the reason. And that my sister and my brother never did. And they just kept on getting into more trouble and more trouble. And so my mother had a nervous breakdown and had to go into Valley Hospital. And it was over the summer when it happened, and I was down at Music Workshop, which was this organization where a bunch of churches get together and sing and everything. And all I had heard, Granny Lou, my grandmother that we lived with, she was down there also, and I didn't know anything about what was going on. And all she told me was that my mom was in the hospital and that I'd probably never see her alive again. And she told me that, you know, if I ever needed anything, to go to her, though. But I fell all to pieces right there. And I'm glad I had a friend there that I could talk to. And anyways, I called my brother, and he told me, he said, she's quite all right. She's just not all there. And so I said, oh, okay. I mean, it was a real relief because I thought, you know, I've lived with my mother this long, and what am I going to do if she's gone? I can't live with my dad. I couldn't stand being around an alcoholic that much. It'd drive me crazy. So anyways, when she went into the hospital, this was just 3 years ago? Yeah, 3 years ago. And she met a guy there, an alcoholic. And I actually thought she had lost her mind. I thought, this woman got out of one and getting into another, I'm going to kill her. But he was in there for alcoholism. And since then, ever since they've met each other, he's never drank. And I've never seen him, but I can imagine, because he still got his temper from it. But he's just a wonderful man. And they got married 2 years ago. I don't know. I'm a little short on time. And so they got married, and it was a sweet wedding. I even got to be a bridesmaid for my mom. That was something every kid can't say. And so anyways, I asked her. She came up here, and she got to go into the Grace Monday night Al-Anon. And she just thought it was wonderful. She just thought every problem could be cured in that. And I asked her, it was around Christmas, and I said, what do you want for Christmas, Mama? And she said, honestly? I said, of course. She said, I want you to go to Alateen. I said, are you crazy? I said, Alateen's for people that can't handle their situation. I've got everything under control. And what I hadn't realized was, through all these years, I had never told one person that my father was an alcoholic. My best friend didn't even know until I did take her down there one time only. And I guess she found out from experience. But other than that, I had never told anybody. I never had talked to anybody about it. When I got to Ider in the first grade, there was a counselor there, but I didn't tell her anything. I couldn't. I didn't know what was going on. And so anyways, I decided that if she really wanted that for Christmas, I would go just to please her. And oh, I'm so glad she did. Help me. I must admit, I thought I had it all together, but I was a basket case. And the first meeting, I went and I cried and I spilled my guts. And I felt 10 years younger and 3 pounds lighter. And I just felt like, I felt so good. And so I kept on going back, and I cried for the next 3 meetings. And I'm glad I had Michael. He's really meant a lot to me. And these people right here. But I kept going, and I thought, gosh, this is a wonderful program. And then I started doing my steps, and I didn't even realize it was the same meeting once I started doing my steps. Because when I first came, I let go of all my pent-up feelings, but I still had that resentment inside me, and I didn't realize it was there. At first, I thought I felt sorry for my dad, but then I realized I really did resent him because he was supposed to be my role model. And here he is, drinking. They've gotten a divorce. I mean, everything's just gone. And it really was hard, even after I got into Al-Anon. I'm not in Al-Anon. I'm in Alateen. After I got into Alateen, and I went to see my dad after I'd been gone about a month, and I lost it all. I forgot everything I had learned. And when I got down there, I just got so sick. And I told my mom to come get me. I said, I need to go home now. She said, well, why? My sister-in-law was coming back Sunday. And I asked her to meet me in Atlanta Saturday. That was halfway in between my dad and my mom's house. And she said, well, okay. And so I talked. We got in the car and we left. And I cried all the way home because I felt that my dad had reached the point where, you know, alcoholism is a disease or a sickness. Well, I wondered what you do when there is no person, just a sickness. And that's what I felt my dad had become. But now I know that there is nothing I can do. I can just pray for him and love him. And I hope that he can overcome this. But I am so thankful for my Allen team. It has helped me so much. And I'm glad y'all let me speak too, because it does a lot just to get it out. And if there's any new people here that haven't been going along, please stick with the program. It works. Thank